The year is 2124. Civilization as you know it is gone. The last remaining archive of Vancouver's music, art, and underrepresented issues is the September 2018 issue of a magazine called Discorder. 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 The September issue of Discorder is out now. This month, there are pieces on Andrea Warner, the author of Buffy St. Marie's authorized biography, Commercial Drag, a weekly drag show for anyone and everyone, music features with local bands Landline and Board Decor, an art feature by Nada Hayek, live reviews of Ponderosa Festival, and Poetry is Bad for You, and of course, reviews of new albums, podcasts, and books. Thank you to our advertisers, The Rio, Blueprint, The Cinematheque, The Rickshaw Theater, East Van Graphics, SFU, Timber Concerts, the Vancouver International Film Festival, the Vancouver Art Book Fair, and the AMS.
Take a break and never suffer how long. Turn to death, fear to my telly. Trying to find my crutch, I want to walk without a limp. I can feel the nervous in my belly. Puppet to the fear, but every butterfly's a pimp. I know. Jason, when I'm not ready for shit, I can never put me in me bed no more. Fatigue, I bet he's in it. Steady question, inability, Geronimo up into mad. Instability is too beyond bestowing bad. Can't get away from nothing more than I can add. How can anyone provide if any never had? Or if nobody knows what's on the way now? Aim, shame, and my name when my sight's straight now. And if I never knew my everyday now, must have been the version of me that could never do it. Dropping unimportance in a bag, trying to tell me what I need, but when I do, I lie. Dreaming every day about the day that I fly. If I become him again before I die, I'ma tell my ways fade away and find a way to vanish. Sidestepping the desolate, you hooking like the title. Looking like the crown is fucking tooken like the title. I don't wanna be what you are, eh? Quick mover, never moving too far, eh? In your ways till your day's foobar, eh? Hope I never knew could ever be that never got to where I shoulda, woulda, coulda, what's changed? Scholar pimp and shit, no money on me. Dirty ass dummy, I just really wanna change. Louisiana, Louisiana, on me. Promise I'ma take a break and never suffer out long. Turn to death, fear to my telly. Trying to find my crutch, I wanna walk without a limp. I can feel the nervous in my belly. Puppet to the fear, but every scholar pimp and shit, no money on me. Dirty ass dummy, I just really wanna change. Louisiana, Louisiana, on me. Promise I'ma take a break and never suffer out long. Turn to death, fear to my telly. Trying to find my crutch, I wanna walk without a limp. I can feel the nervous in my belly. Puppet to the fear, but every butterfly's a pimp. I know.
Yo. Oh, wow. It's pretty loud. Good morning. You are here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path, introducing you to some new beats, some new stories. We got a lot for you this week. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory, live from deep in the woods. You know, if you listen to the show every week, you know that I love summer, but I also do have like this fondness for fall, just the season, like the weather when the leaves start changing colors. It just makes me feel just good. Like, this is, it feels like my season. If you've never listened to the show before, what we like to do here is me, like to bring you some new news, some local news, some national news, just bring you some stories, introduce you to some, occasionally some really smart people. Sometimes those happen to be my friends. We do interviews. It's Vancouver International Film Festival coming up in a few weeks. And so, you know, that's my favorite time to bring in people who are really doing some cool things here. Not just here in the city, but not just here in Canada, but just all over. Really get an opportunity to talk to some people and really understand, like, their creative process when it comes to films. If you know me or you know the show, it's one of the things that I feel like brings, like, the spice out of it. You know, we like to talk a little bit about the weather here. We don't really have too much going on. I mean, it's fall in Vancouver, so I think it's very, very easy to predict the weather. You shouldn't even have to go outside or open up your windows. Just know it's going to be a little chilly and pretty wet. And that is no difference for this next few weeks. Just know I also have a little bit of technical problems. So, you know, when I come to do the show, I bring my laptop. I have everything all ready, you know, just ready to go. However, occasionally, I forget my laptop charger, and it's like a race against the clock. You know, when you're just really trying to finish something up and you have just like a little bit of battery power in your phone, and maybe like that 1% feels like it lasts for the longest 1%. Well, we're not at 1%. Listen, we are at 100% feeling for the radio show. However, my battery is at 9. So, you know, we're just going to push it until I have to start freestyling. And I feel like that is partly appreciated. So just know, as we go into this weekend, it will be wet. If you have anything to do today or Friday or Saturday, you might want to wait till Sunday, because Sunday is the only day this weekend where you might have a chance, just like a little sliver of hope, that it will be dry out. So if you are, let's say you're moving this weekend, you might want to wait until next weekend, where Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are supposed to be 20 degrees with 0% chance of precipitation. Now, we know that here in Vancouver, it is nearly impossible to predict the weather 7 days in a row unless that prediction is rain. But then you can be very confident that it will so. Let's just jump right into some of the stories that's going on here in the Lower Mainland this week. If you are excited, so like in less than a month, marijuana will be federally legalized here in Canada, and it's really big news, not just for the idea that marijuana is going to be legalized, but also for big businesses. Over the past 2 days, two of like the largest Canadian cannabis companies have skyrocketed on the exchange and nearly doubled. So if you're not familiar with Tilray passes Canopy to become the world's largest pot company or marijuana company. And if you don't know Tilray is the Nanaimo-based BC company, which has really been investing in this medical marijuana for years. I think the first time I heard about Tilray was maybe back in 2013 on a Vice episode. And since it IPO'd for $17 on the New York Stock Exchange, it has rallied to more than $136. And so one of the things is that there are like about one third of the stocks are being held by people who are waiting to short the stock. So, anticipating that it will fall. However, looking at not just Tilray, but also at some other really large Canadian cannabis companies like Aurora. We've seen that they have also done well, not just on the New York Stock Exchange, but also on the TSX. So if you are looking to like invest in weed, then this is probably the best time for you to do it. You know, I think that maybe I should talk to, like, I got a lot of friends who are stockbrokers, and, you know, they make these types of decisions, and they really love trading, like day trading. So maybe I'll have a friend come on and talk to you guys about what you should invest in. But me, I think investing in things that you like is probably the best way to go. It's also easy. And if you are like maybe investing like a millennial, but that probably means that you're not investing at all because you don't have enough money. But let's say that you're investing, you know, as a progressive millennial might think, you know, some of the brands that you might imagine would be valuable. Pot and Nike seem like very safe right now. And if you'd invested in both of those about a week ago, you would be doing pretty well. But over time, we know how these things tend to average out. But if you can invest in things you like and make a little bit of money doing it, I think that's exactly what you should do. If you want to find more about Tilray and some of the gains that these cannabis companies have made, you are welcome to check it out on CBC. It's also interesting. We'll be talking a little bit later in the day that it's not just cannabis companies that are looking to get into the cannabis business, and not only because they see a large opportunity for it, but it's just this interesting. It almost seems that if a brand is not trying to get in cannabis, that it's not like willing to put itself out there. And you see that Coca-Cola is looking to develop cannabis infused beverages, which is interesting because I don't know if Coca-Cola even has alcoholic infused beverages, which I'm sure that they do in their portfolio. But as like cannabis laws get more lax, we'll start to see really large brands, you know, get into cannabis and probably get out, because I can't imagine just like how difficult it might be to manage something like that, particularly when there's so many different options. And it's interesting that Coca-Cola, because, you know, we tend to like think about Coca-Cola as the formulation, you know, where they used to have cocaine in it. And it seems like maybe Coca-Cola is just getting back to their roots, you know, and bringing the drugs back with cannabis. So maybe they'll go to Canacola. I don't know. Coca-Cola, if you're listening, you can't use that. I feel like I don't know if that's like a legal standing to just say you can't use that, but they shouldn't. And any other cannabis cola company, I feel like that is probably exactly what they're going to call it. There's so much going on here in Vancouver. Normally, when we talk about Vancouver news, it's really siloed into three things. We talk about homelessness, housing, and drugs. And like, rarely do we hear about a string of violent crimes or even property crimes here. It's just either doesn't seem to happen very often, which I know that it does. Happen, not often, but it does happen, or it feels like, you know, it's just like swept under the rug. However, in Richmond, the RCMP urge vigilance after 29 break-ins in 6 days. So a lot of the times when we talk about these crimes or maybe some transgressions that happen here in Vancouver, a lot of them seem to come out of Richmond. I feel like last week when we talked about the individuals who were robbed after swiping right, that happened in Richmond. Also, but although Like, this is something that I didn't know that happened. Like, I was a witness, not a witness to a robbery, but a witness to one of these, I don't know what you call it, like a situation. Like a situation where I have a friend, and this friend told me that he was like, oh, yeah, I just, you know, I was swiping on this Tinder chick, and we're going to meet up. I think she wants to come through to the crib and, like, hook up. And I immediately was just kind of taken aback. Not only because I talked about this story last week where, you know, guys are, I wouldn't say so thirsty, but they, you know, they're pretty excited to have sex. So they, you know, put themselves in, I would say, questionable situations, you know, where something potentially like a robbery could happen. But like the robbery didn't happen. And I feel like everybody got what they wanted out of the situation. However, still made me nervous because I didn't know that these types of things happened. I didn't know that people like, I mean, I did know that people like hooked up on these apps, but I wasn't aware that people just like go to each other's houses after just messaging a few times and just do that. Like, I don't know. I just never, it just blew my mind. So when hearing about these individuals last week who were robbed, after talking about it with some friends, you know, and they expressed some empathy towards these men, I still feel very strongly that if you invite someone into your house or you go over someone's house at 3 o'clock in the morning expecting sex from a app that you downloaded, then you deserve to be robbed. But however, these break-ins of people breaking into their houses, I disagree. I don't think that people deserve to be robbed from your house. I feel like if you put yourself in a position to be robbed, then it's a different story. However, these individuals, of the 29 break-ins, 12 happened while people were out of town, and another 12 happened where the suspects entered an unlocked door or window. So I feel like a lot of these break-ins are pretty targeted. While I'm no detective, I feel like I watch enough TV where I can determine, you know, what seems like a targeted break-in. So understanding that if you lock your doors and just do something as hiring a house sitter, you know, to make sure that they can check in on your home while you're not there, maybe just take your mail out of your mailboxes so that people casing your house, like, think that people are still there. Maybe take out your garbage, take your garbage to the curb. You know, some of those things that indicate that someone is in the house or, you know, has been in the house in that day, so that you can prevent your house from getting robbed. And please, just because I know all of these things, don't assume that I am some type of suspect. These are things that my mother told me to make sure that you do not get your house robbed because she grew up in Paterson, New Jersey. And I don't know if there's a lot of breaking and entering there. All I know is my stepfather told me that when he was a teenager, he saw someone get shot in the face on his walk to school. And so knowing these things and knowing a little bit of tips about how you can avoid getting your house broken into, very good. See, this is what Off the Beaten Path brings to you. Not just things that you can talk about over the weekend with your friends or over a date, but also real life advice that can save you and your belongings. Speaking of saving people and their belongings, people in Maple Ridge have decided that they no longer like their lives and want to put their lives at risk just a little bit more. So if you don't know, Maple Ridge, which is a suburb in East Vancouver, has decided that they want to silence train whistles. The city council voted that they want their trains to stop blowing whistles at all of its 8 rail crossings. So if you don't know, there's a law that has been in effect, I probably want to say for, you know, probably a few decades, maybe probably at least like probably could be 100 years, maybe 150 years. I didn't do the research to look up when this law was enacted. But the law is that trains blow their horn or their whistles 400 meters below crossing, 400 meters before crossing an intersection between train tracks and a road or path. And like historically, municipalities have been able to claim exemption from this. Like, let's say if it makes too much noise in a residential neighborhood. However, the whistles are used for safety. They are not like a novelty. So for me, it's very confusing to understand, like, why would you want to get rid of those things? But the people in Maple Ridge have made their decisions and have decided that, you know, maybe putting a barrier, like, you know, one of those arms that go up and down, is better than a train whistle. And while I understand, I disagree. I feel like that people are dumb and they make stupid decisions all of the time. I feel like we often talk about them on the show. And so if you live in Maple Ridge, or maybe, you know, this is a epidemic that's coming near you to your neighborhood, where your neighborhood will probably remove train whistles, and you're concerned, you should write into your councilman before they decide to make that change. And when we get back from musical break, we'll be talking a little bit about some of the things that are going on here in Vancouver when, as it relates to why people are so lazy.
Riding around the town to get my old bitches. Oh. Riding around the town to get my old bitches. You ain't hold me down till a nigga came up. Why you want me now? What's the focus? Wait, I know you was pressing dial and my name came up. Right. I've been off it, I've been gone for weeks, still smell the setup. Put her on repeat, can't put no pussy on a pedestal. I be home a week, so for a week she in stilettos. Call me when you need, only when you. Ooh, I've been off it, I've been gone for weeks, still smell the setup. Put her on repeat, can't put no pussy on a pedestal. I be home a week, so for a week she in stilettos. Call me when you need, only when you. Oh, you headed out of town with your best friend. I ain't front desk, bitch, you ain't gotta check in. What do you call that? I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back, back. What do you call that? I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back. I'm going OT for the week. Double OT for the weekend. Got me a freak and she geeking. She talk a lot when she peeking. Speaking about life drama and the current affairs. Just bury it there. I got enough problems, got no worries or cares. Spare you a ear. And she thinks it's me on the internet. She don't know me, that's the internet. She just get high off my intellect. I just get high, tell her, give me Nick. My mind on this check.
You know what I'm saying.
My mind on this check.
Bitch, no, I ain't playing.
My mind on this check.
It's money on mine.
My mind on this check.
It's all on my mind.
Oh, you headed out of town with your best friend. I ain't front desk, bitch, you ain't gotta check in. What do you call that? I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back, back. What do you call that? I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back.
senseless. Why pretend? I can't tell no lie, bitch. I'm too poppin' now. Empty bottles, empty promises. I can't tell no lie, bitch. I'm too poppin' now.
We back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca here on Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So here at UBC, I don't know if you know, but UBC is one of the best research institutions in the world. I think it's ranked like top five for research. And a study just was released by the neurology department where they have found out that your brain is wired to be lazy. And then, so what it says is that people are inherently lazy because there's this thing called the exercise paradox, which is why society is getting lazier. And researchers have figured out by using, some complex study where they actually sit people in front of a computer and really give them basically give them the options between exercising, being lazy, and I guess say not exercise and being lazy, but physical activity and like just relaxation. And so what it says is that your brain works harder to get ready or even to think about doing something physical rather than relaxing. And so I saw that and I was like, well, duh. I feel like that's pretty simple to understand or pretty intuitive, logical, I guess to say. Like thinking of when I'm sitting on my couch, like what does it take more brain power to do? Like continue sitting on my couch or get up and go to the gym? I would probably say like this experiment could be done with, you know, me and the people I know, and probably could have saved a lot of money. However, science and the scientists have decided that these things are wired in our brain for specific reasons, particularly for conserving energy, how that for generations had been essential for humans to survive, you know, being able to be efficient in your search for food and shelter and avoiding predators. So next time someone says that you are lazy, you can just simply say, no, I'm actually just practicing, you know, my intragenerational practice of conserving energy, because who knows when a bear might attack you, which in British Columbia is a pretty valid excuse, because bears are just around the corner. So never forget it. Also, what is also around the corner are coyotes. Now, I saw a coyote about a week ago just perusing through my neighborhood in Kitsilano. And researchers here in Vancouver want to study how coyotes are adjusting here in Vancouver. So, you know, one of my favorite things to do here in talking to the show is talk about when animals are fighting back towards, the human overlords and really, you know, trying to have a grasp on how they fit into this new world. Not only how they fit, but where they can leave their marks. I saw that over the week, there was a cove that was discovered. They called it a great white shark lair. Now, I feel like a lair makes me think that there's probably some type of lead villain, maybe a shark wearing a helmet. I don't know. Because when I think of like a lair, I feel like you think of maybe Dr. Evil, or that's maybe you don't think of Dr. Evil, but that's what I think. I think of, you know, Count Dracula, or, you know, some type of ominous, dark villain And I don't say Dr. Evil's dark and ominous. He's, it's a joke. But you know what I mean. I feel like you can understand. Maybe, you know, maybe Professor Magneto probably lived in some type of lair. You know, the Penguin from Batman in the lair. Batman kind of lived in his own lair. But, you know, some would say Batman was a villain. I would definitely not say he's a hero. He's just a regular guy. But they found a lair of sharks, and these sharks are maintaining their adjustment. And I hope that whoever found it got out fast enough. Because while I root for the animals, you know, I still think that there's some valuable people of our species left. But anyways, back to the story. So researchers want you to photograph coyotes when you see them, because they want to understand how these coyotes are adjusting to having their habitats encroached upon, particularly by condos and more people. The problem is that coyotes are very good at hiding, and if we take any advice, if you've ever taken any advice from this show, 2 weeks ago we talked about a woman who got close enough to an alligator, and the alligator lunged at her dog. She went to protect the dog, got eaten by the alligator. Now, I don't think a coyote is going to eat you. I feel like these coyotes are rather scared of humans. However, they are still wild animals. And so if you are trying to take a picture of a coyote, if you're trying to get close enough to take a picture of a coyote, and you think that you could be doing, you know, the public justice by helping these researchers get pictures so that they can understand how coyotes are better adjusted to urban life, I'd probably say you need to stay back, because it's just not smart. The idea that you would get close to an animal just so that you can take a picture of it, it's so, I don't want to say stupid, but it's pretty stupid. It's, don't do it. But if you do it, please, please make sure that if the coyote bites you, you make the news so we can talk about it. For the last thing that's going on here in Vancouver, I want to say this is more like a WTF moment of the month. It's a new thing. There is a controversial new TV show that is being, not piloted, but it is being put forth through to your Canadian airwaves on APTN. It's called First Contact. Now, you might be asking, you know, what's First Contact all about? This show is where they take six white people who are pretty racist, pretty openly racist, you know, and they take them through to, like, indigenous communities where they spend 30 minutes really teaching these white people that not all First Nations people are lazy, alcoholics, welfare cheats, and hopeless, and really try to help, I don't really know what, they're really trying to, like, help ease racial tensions, or trying to get this understanding, you know, from this perspective that these white people have never had. And I was reading this, I could only think about, like, them doing something similar like this into the States, because my references, you know, me being American, you know, are always of that. And so I am admittedly pretty pessimistic about race and racism. I feel like that I have very good reason to be, but like a show like this, I just can't imagine that if you are, let's say, like, you are a white person who watches this TV show, Like, how convincing is this? Like, if this is really convincing, I would really love for someone to call in and tell me, like, why do they think that this is a really good idea? Because when I see this, I see that the burden on trying to prove your humanity is placed solely upon these First Nations people. And it really is kind of disheartening to think that, like, someone thought this TV show was a good idea. Like, I feel like there's so many other creative ideas, probably from First Nations people, where you could have simply shot a TV show, like maybe a sitcom, maybe a drama, maybe, just a TV show just about First Nations people's lives that would probably have a better impact on the relations between white people and indigenous people of this country, where they can actually see that, no, these are complex individuals. Like, there's no basis to understand that, like, that you can exist in all spectrums of humanity. Like, I'm sure, like, there are, like, lazy alcoholic white people, there are lazy alcoholic Native people, there are lazy alcoholic Black people here, all here in Canada, Chinese people, all in Canada, and they exist in, like, they're smart, educated, all types of people, you know, from all different races here in Canada. And so a TV show that shows more of the complexities and how basically we are, regardless of race, we're all the same. Like, we all have a wide spectrum of different types of people, would probably serve better than really taking these racist people to reservations and to meet with indigenous people who are not fitting in the stereotype. But if you actually think that this is a good idea, I'd really love to hear from you. You can write me on Facebook at Off the Beaten Path, well, OTBP20XX, or you can write me on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath, or you can send a email to isa.braithwaite@gmail. I'd really love to understand why someone would think that this would be a good idea. For me, it just sounds like a free vacation for racist white people to probably some of the best places in Canada, or at least like the nicest geographical places in Canada. I think it's also noted that, like, social scientists have also said that these types of things do not like cure people of racism. And I firmly believe that the burden of showing people that and the burden of, like, ending racism shouldn't be on the backs of minorities, because, well, if it's like that, it'll never happen. But when we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about Ira Glass and some of the things he's doing in Vancouver, but then also what is going on and what would it take for you to quit in the middle of your shift.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire, Cheetos, fleece material, and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute. Just visit citr.ca/discorder/contribute. You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Drop me. hurts to smile now. Every time I sit to write you what I think about, the only time I don't feel tied down. We build it up to pull it down. Ashes to ashes, we burn away into the ground, into the ground. Sad faces, so many ways to cope with pain, only one way to face it. Knowing that love can heal me, still looking in wrong places. Sometimes I wish I could erase it, I wish I was faceless. Sometimes I scream out to God feeling like an idiot, cause he knows what I did to get in this predicament. I'm vibing alone, don't need a pity party, plus my homies got it covered. It's listening to an army. I'm growing up, thankful for everyone showing up. I hope you hear him my every line when he pull it up. I do this shit cause it feels better than throwing up. It's always been bigger than me, I'm trying to sew it up. But so what, cause I'm a slave to my emotions, my emotion. I can't help the way that I'm feeling. I need healing, I wanna drift away. Lens dropping, I can't stop it.
So if you are interested in some events that are going on here in Vancouver in the next few weeks or days, you know that the Vancouver International Film Festival is here, which starts next week and runs through the middle of October. But also on September 22nd, which is, what's that, Sunday, Saturday? Well, 8 p.m. At the Queen Elizabeth Theater, Ira Glass, who is the creator, the writer, producer for This American Life, he will be giving a speech and talking about storytelling, talking about what inspires him to create and how, just basically about his life. I really like This American Life. I feel like if you appreciate storytelling and podcasting and radio, that's something that you are going to want to make sure you catch up on. So as we go into thinking about, like, what does our future look like, I like to think of this global global idea on just like how our world is continually getting smaller and smaller. And one of the ideas that had been pushed forward, which I thought was hilarious over the last week, but maybe not as funny as maybe some people might not have found it funny, was a Spanish foreign minister claims that Donald Trump told him to build a wall across the Sahara Desert to stop migrants. Now, I don't really think that we'd probably need to go in further than this, but to understand that, like, I wonder if this guy knows how big the Sahara Desert is. And curious on which side of the Sahara he thinks a wall should be put up. I don't really think that you need to even go into it, just to understanding just the idea of putting a wall around the Sahara, even to propose such a ridiculous statement. Now, I don't know if this is like some Spanish foreign minister trolling the United States media or trolling me personally, but I would just like to assume that it's true. I feel like sometimes assuming the truth will save you, because let's just say it is true. We should definitely not put a wall around Sahara. And let's just say it's not true. I don't really feel like it does any harm to know, to think that it's not true. Because this is the same person as who's parroted building a wall as a solution to all the problems here in America. And we know that that's just not true. One of the things that has, you know, he's been consistently staying on is that he is here for American jobs. And so we have seen with this big trade war between the United States, China, and Canada, Mexico, the European Union, Great Britain, you know, it seems that United States is at wars on lots of different fronts. And one of the things that is taking away from American jobs, which is Jack Ma and Alibaba saying that he is no longer going to try to expand Alibaba to the States, or at least not right now, which is which was expected to bring over 1 million jobs to the United States, not just through Alibaba, but also, which is the world's largest retailer, but also just through like the expansion that American companies were going to be able to sell goods through Alibaba to Chinese customers. And so what that was going to do is increase American productivity, having access to, you know, I think it's like 1.4 billion new customers. I mean, I'm sure not 1.4 billion Chinese are on the internet. Maybe, you know, just like we don't have, you know, all 390 million of the United States citizens on the internet, but just like a huge, huge market for U.S. products. And that's currently not happening. I mean, I'm sure that eventually it will, but it's just interesting that these, I've never really seen trade wars be played out this publicly before, but maybe that's just because, you know, as you get older, you get really more interested and in tune with just what exactly is going on in the case. When it comes to also, we talk about borders and we talk about the ideas of what do these walls actually look like and who are we putting on these walls. And like, so when you say build a wall, it's not just a wall, but there's actually people not just trying to cross, but also people working the walls. And so when we talk about all of the spectrums of the of humanity, of people, you know, First Nations and, you know, and the like here in Canada, we also talk about those same types of people in the States. And so what we are, I feel like consistently seeing is that people who sign up to take these jobs at the border, for the most part, are doing their jobs. But we've heard about people killing immigrants. Like we've heard about rape at some of these centers where these youth migrants are being held. We've heard about so many awful things and awful conditions that people are being subjected to. And another story, which was released about a few days ago, talks about how Juan David Ortiz, an Intel supervisor for the Border Patrol, was captured by Texas authorities early Saturday after he was found hiding in a hotel parking lot in Laredo. There's strong evidence that Ortiz has murdered four women who were working as prostitutes near the border. And he's described as a serial killer, but he's also a Border Patrol agent, which is scary because he's, when you think about the access or proximity he has to vulnerable individuals, that it just... like the proximity to this vulnerable population, it just seems like, well, if he's willing to go that far with these four women, like where has he, you know, maybe not gone so far as to kill someone, because you just don't start killing people. I feel like, you know, that's can't just be like the first crime that you commit. I feel like, you know, there's got to be some other acts which have led up to that. So, I just believe that while not able to, it's sad because it's sad, we're not able to like protect all of these people, particularly from individuals that we have set up to be authorities, you know, on the, in these situations. And there's nothing else, but it's just sad when. What also sad is that I feel like in 1 week we've already moved past Botham Jean. And if you haven't heard Botham Jean is the individual who was killed in Dallas, Texas, by the police officer who claims she mistakenly walked into the wrong apartment and got scared when a man who was in his own apartment, I don't know if he approached her or stood up from his couch, but she shot him two times and he died. And they released a statement or a report last week that said that they found some marijuana in his home, and it had been parroted through news sites that he had, like, that the building managers had called the authorities on him because he had been smoking weed the day before, and that was found out to be a lie. It's just kind of sad that in 1 week we can go from, you know, being completely, I wouldn't say outraged, but completely aware of the transgressions that have gone on in this case and what it looks like, to now it's almost as if it's an afterthought. Like, it's definitely not front page anymore. And what we've seen is that as these things tend to fall out of the public eye, that is when it seems that the most harm happens. And when I say the most harm, I mean the least justice happens. So if you, like, I try to avoid talking about sports on here, but one of the most interesting stories for me this past week was not just because I thought this was interesting, but I've never actually seen it happen at a professional level. If you don't know, Vontae Davis, he was a former Buffalo Bill who at halftime decided that he had had enough of football, and he put his clothes on at halftime and dipped. Now, I've seen people from all over the sports spectrum talk about how this was disrespectful, or how, you know, it just shows how little he cared for his teammates and this shows how little he respected the game. Now, this happened one time when I was in high school. Our quarterback threw an interception, and as our tight end, Gershon, was running to tackle the interceptor, he got crackback. Now, if you don't know what crackback is basically getting hit in the chest when you're not looking. And Gershon took his shoulder pads off immediately and said that was enough. It was a wrap for him. And I don't blame someone for quitting when, particularly quitting football. Like, if you're not in football, you should quit. Now, I coach little kids, from 10 to 13 years old, and there's been a number of times where I've taken kids off to the side and said, like, hey, you know, if this is not for you, you know, there's so many other things that you could do. Like, I try to talk to them about, like, listen, all the other things that I do personally. Like, there's so many things for a kid to get into. You don't have to play football, but because, like, football is not one of those sports where you can just kind of mail it in. You can actually not only get hurt, get yourself hurt, but get other people hurt, you know, when you are not willing to give 100%. So when thinking about Vontae Davis, like, if you're not in it, you got to get out. And if you even feel that you need to get out in the middle of a game, I feel like the courage that it takes to overcome that peer pressure of quitting football particularly should be commended. But like I say commended like with a question mark, because you just don't want people to quit things. But you have to understand that football is a game, and it's a dangerous game. And if you want to quit it at halftime because you feel like you just can't give it your all, I don't think anybody should be mad at you about that. Well, thank you for staying tuned for this past hour or 55 minutes. If you like the music and you like this show, you can listen to Crimes and Treasons on Tuesdays from 8 to 10, where we play the hottest hip-hop here in Vancouver. You can always find old episodes of Off the Beaten Path on CITR.ca/Off the Beaten Path or at Facebook.com/OTBP20XX or at Mixcloud.com/Off the Beaten Path. Next week, I will be at Denzel Curry's show. We'll be getting an interview, and maybe we'll be playing it this next Thursday, or you have to tune in to Crimes and Treasons next Tuesday and check it out. Have a great weekend. I'm out.
Was like the walls are closing in. Why'd I do this to myself? Sick and tired of empty beds. It can make me or can break me. That's the way with all these things. Hey. Hey. Not so patient, concentrating leaves me aching like a pain. Getting wasted, slowly fading. Watch it catching up to me. No, it fazed me. Been so hasty, oh, so lately I can't breathe. Hey. Had to have this talk with you, my happiness depends on you. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. All these pictures on my wall, no sentiment at all. Yeah, I'm just moving on, but I won't need them, I don't need them. Pictures on my wall, no sentiment at all. I'm just moving on. Accolades and trophy cases just to build my self-esteem. I see Ellis through the glass. She be looking back at me, trying to make myself content. It's more different than it seems. Hey. Talk of my descent and look within my soul is where I see. Drown myself in gin and tin. I probably never ever be out of touch, out of reach. What's the rush? Can I see? Hey. Had the heaviest talk with you, my happiness depends on you. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. All these pictures on my wall, no sentiment at all. Yeah, I'm just moving on, but I won't.